Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. So, how's your day? You always ask me first.
No, you go first. My day was good. You know, Monday vibes over here.
Well, it looks like you've got some makeup on. Did you go somewhere?
Yes. I had to take Hazel to the doctor, so I thought I better slap on some product, if you will, so as not to frighten anyone.
Yeah, I'm sure all appreciated that.
Yeah, they did. And it was funny because she's run a fever on and off for like a week. Mm-hmm. So she has these moments where she's fine and dancing around and then she crashes. Well, when we were at the doctor, she's, of course, dancing around.
Oh, yeah.
Making jokes. You know.
I think that's every parent's story. Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I promise you. Promise. But yeah, she has another ear infection, so great. Anyways. So yeah, that's the Monday vibe we're feeling over here. How was your Monday?
Well, you know, it was fine. I worked. And thank the good Lord I worked from home because I was not feeling it, and I took my laptop, and I laid in bed and worked all day.
That's the best.
Yeah. So, I just have this pain in my shoulder, and it just will not go away.
I guess it's better than a pain in the butt, right?
Well, yeah, that is true. I mean, good point. There's always a positive. Thank you for reminding me.
Yes. A silver lining to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I'm excited for your story.
Yeah.
I was working on my story. I do this every week. I start working on my story, and I'm like, what if Lena's doing the same story? So tell me.
Okay. So this one, we're talking about Mr. John Martin Etchemendy.
Phew. That's not my guy.
Okay. Have you heard of this name?
I haven't.
Okay, well, he goes by Marty, and he was born March 16th of 1964 in Billings, Montana. He was born to John and Julie Etchemendy. He had two sisters and a brother, and he attended schools in Miles City and graduated from Custer County High School as an honor student and played football and baseball. So he was your all-American guy. He graduated from Montana Tech with a degree in petroleum engineering.
Wow.
Yeah, smart guy. The plan for him was to take over his father's business, which was called Miles City Sanitation.
Nice.
On June 9th of 1984, he married Colleen Hemmert, and they had two sons together. He was a member of the Miles City Town and Country Club and the Montana Officials Association. He seemed to really care about his community and, most of all, his family. For those who knew Marty, he seemed to just have it all. He was incredibly smart. He was tall and athletic, handsome, funny, and he worked hard. On October 16th of 1987, Marty was 23. He went out to a local football game with two friends, you know, hanging out with the guys. Yeah. They then made their way to the Town and Country Club. From there, Marty went with another friend to the Drake Lounge, and the Log Cabin Bar. It seemed to be a night of bar hopping.
These all sound like really Montana-y places.
Yes. He eventually made his way to the Golden West Lounge.
Yeah. And next, he went to the Saddleback Ranch. I don't know.
That may have been one. I don't know. So, the Golden West Lounge was in Miles City, where he lived, and him and his friend arrived there around 1 a.m. Marty's friend drove Marty's truck, and they parked the truck and went in to check the vibe at this location.
Just feel it out.
Yeah. They weren't there long. At around 2 a.m., Marty's friend had already left the bar, leaving Marty alone, and now Marty was ready to leave. When he walked outside, he couldn't remember where his friend parked his truck.
Oh, no.
So there was another group of friends at the bar that night, hanging out, and that group was made up of two brothers, Vernon Kills on Top. He was 26, and then Lester Kills on Top. He was 25. They were full-blooded, enrolled members of the Northern Cheyenne tribe. These two men, they were there at the bar with two women, one named Diane Bullcoming and Doretta Forbear. This group realized that Marty was looking for his vehicle, so they offered to help him. Marty into their black Dodge Duster with all four of them, and they drove around searching for his vehicle. It's really weird to me why they would drive around looking for this. Like, how far did they actually have to park from this place?
Yeah.
But little did Marty know that this decision would cost him his life.
Oh, no.
An announcement was made that Yellowstone County law enforcement were on the lookout for a black Dodge car occupied by four people. I could not find in any report how the police were informed about the incident. I'm assuming Marty's family reported him missing when he didn't come home. However, I could not confirm when or how all that happened.
Yeah. And then, like, an eyewitness maybe saw him get into the car.
Right. So I'm assuming the family reported him missing. And then, yes, witnesses at the bar did come forward and told investigators that they saw Marty getting into this black Dodge.
See, that, it's like such a thank God. Can you imagine if nobody, in certain cases, nobody was out there? And this does happen. Like, nobody saw anything.
Yeah.
But at least now they have something to go on.
Yes. So, yes, thank God somebody saw. On October 18th, an officer spotted the car. He pulled the vehicle over, and Vernon Kills on Top and a woman named LaVon Quiros were in the car, and they were arrested. According to the documents filed with the Montana Supreme Court, Doretta Forbear and Diane Bullcoming came forward and told the story of that fateful night. They let Marty into the car, and they did drive around and looked a few places for Marty's truck. Vernon was driving. Eventually, they turned onto Cemetery Road, which is reported that Marty lived at the end of that road. I did not confirm that. It was in the report, so. But Doretta testified that after Marty told them that they were going the right way, like, he knew that they were getting close.
Yeah.
It looked familiar. Vernon stopped the car and turned it around. Lester, in his native tongue of Northern Cheyenne, told the others that they should roll him and steal from him.
Wow.
Lester and Marty started arguing in the back seat of the car, and Lester began beating and choking Marty and trying to force pills down his throat.
What?
I guess to get him to be, like,
compliant.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Marty was ordered to empty his pockets, and Diane took his wallet and rifled through it. The group took his credit cards and two paychecks. I think they said the paychecks were like a little over $100.
Okay.
Congratulations. Vernon stopped the car, saying he wanted in on some of this. So the brothers took Marty out of the car and beat him and kicked him while he was on the ground, and Marty was screaming and pleaded for them to stop. So later, Vernon got into the back seat with Marty and tried choking him. And I'm not sure who was driving at this point. I think it was Lester. But the car came to a stop once again, and Marty was told to take off his clothes. The brothers then put him in the trunk naked. You know, just demoralizing.
This is so senseless. Like,
yeah, no reason
ridiculous.
For it. Then they continued to just drive. They stopped in Ashland, Montana. Mind you, Ashland is 71 miles from Miles
Whoa.
City, where Marty got into their car.
Wow.
They then picked up another woman named LaVon Quiros, who was in the car when it was stopped by the police. LaVon and Lester tried to siphon gas, and they stole a red toolbox from somebody.
Okay.
Right about that time, Doretta, she got the heck out of Dodge.
Yeah.
You see what I did there? Because they were driving a Dodge. Come on, I thought you would immediately laugh at that one. It's bad when you have to explain a joke, okay?
Well, I was talking, so like, I mean, I heard you, but it didn't register until after.
Okay.
Oh, you're so funny.
Thanks.
You're punny.
I try. So anyway, Doretta was like, I'm out, and she ran to a friend's house.
She chose to be out like hours later.
Yeah, after driving.
The damage was done.
Well, that wasn't all the damage. There was still damage to be done. But she knew like this was not going in.
Well, it's not going to end.
This was not going to get better.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not letting him go at this point.
Right.
I can't.
No. So she gets out. The brothers stopped and washed blood off of their hands at a water trough nearby.
Okay, Montana.
Yeah. This is the moment that Diane Bullcoming said she saw Marty in the trunk and said he was beaten up, he was bloody, and his eyes and mouth were swollen. And his hair was matted down with blood. But you know what? She stayed in the car and went along with it.
Mm-hmm.
She had the opportunity to go, but
They all did. They all had plenty.
Oh, yeah. So after washing their hands, they were ready for more driving. They then made it to Broadus, Montana. I think that's how you say it, Broadus, which was another 45 miles. There, they cashed one of Marty's checks. Diane suggested that they go to Gillette, Wyoming, which was another 92 miles.
Jeez.
They turned off a side road from Highway 59 and let Marty out of the truck while he was blindfolded. Lester warned Marty that he had a metal pipe and told him that if he tried to run away, he would beat him with it. Vernon removed the blindfold, which made Lester angry because he worried that Marty would be able to identify them. And I'm really confused about this. I don't understand because Marty saw them as he got into the vehicle with them.
Did but, they you know, forget the whole start of this thing?
They had to be on something. I don't know what was happening, but these, they were not real bright people. Lester suggested that they now had to kill Marty, and Vernon agreed, but he wanted to wait.
Okay, for what?
You know, just
you
want to
drive
have a little more fun, I guess.
Okay, understandable.
Lester forced Marty to drink a mixture of beer and Everclear in an attempt to get him to pass out, and then put Marty back into the trunk. Lester talked to Marty through the back seat, and Marty told him that he had a wife and two young boys, like, pleading with him. but this did not deter Lester. They got to Gillette in the afternoon. Remember, this all started at 2 a.m. They stopped to get gas using Marty's credit card, and then they went to a bar. Marty began pounding on the trunk and calling for help, so Vernon told LaVon to move the car to the alley while they all hung out in the bar.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Lester and Diane took the car and continued driving, leaving Vernon and LaVon at the bar. So I'm assuming they were like, okay, y'all just stay here and have fun. We'll take the car.
Him. Yeah.
Lester turned onto a side road, and he stopped the car when he knew that he would not be visible from the main road. And Diane said Lester opened the trunk and hit Marty with the pipe that he had earlier. And Marty was yelling, "Oh God, no, don't do this to me." Lester kept hitting him, and then he hit him with a tire iron and a rock. He threw the weapons into a field, and Lester got back into the car. At this point, Diane was driving. I think from the report it says she testified that they drove a short distance, and then Lester told her to stop so that he could shoot Marty. Well, he didn't have a gun. He tried to shoot him by putting a .22 caliber shell in a vice grip and hitting the shell with a hammer.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, and Diane said she heard what sounded like a firecracker. I guess the bullet did strike. I don't know.
Too bad it didn't explode in his face.
Right. They eventually stopped at the Rustic Inn Lounge because the car, the Dodge that they were driving, had two flat tires.
Well, I mean, you're driving cross country.
Yeah.
With no plan.
On back roads. Yeah.
Exactly.
Diane said that when they stopped, she saw Lester try to cut Marty's throat with a small knife. She went into the bar and let Lester just do his thing. And Lester later came into the bar and told her that Marty was dead. Vernon and LaVon joined back up with Diane and Lester later that afternoon. They bought new tires and left Gillette driving south. They then decided it was time to get rid of Marty's body. They put him in an abandoned community hall about 20 miles south of Gillette. A rancher was driving by when he noticed their car parked by the community hall. And in a report, it said that he saw the car parked there. The trunk was up. He saw them shut the trunk and get into the car. Mm. Well, they drove off not without closing the gate to where they were. So the rancher followed them and stopped their car and forced them to go back to the community hall and close the gate.
I love that.
Yeah, so they were like,
go on back there and close that gate.
Yeah, so they were like, okay. So they turned around, went and closed the gate, and then they drove to Sheridan, Wyoming.
Oh, my.
Lester and Diane bought some new clothes with one of Marty's credit cards. One place, Lester tried to buy new boots, but the lady wouldn't let him because it was not his card. And then they got a hotel room. And, like, what do you do when you get in the room? Like, oh, that was a long day of torturing and murdering that guy.
I'm tired.
Now I can go to sleep.
I know. I can rest easy tonight. But people are sick.
Yeah. Vernon and LaVon, they drove to Billings, Montana. And on the way there, Vernon disposed of the blanket that they used to cover Marty up. LaVon said that she and Vernon stopped at a home where they washed their clothes and washed out the car. And then eventually they were pulled over in the car and arrested. So Lester and Diane, they had hitchhiked from Sheridan back to Billings, where they were eventually arrested at a friend's house on October 19th. That same day, officers found Marty's body in the abandoned building. An autopsy found that he died from extensive blunt force trauma to the left side of his head, which crushed his skull. The pathologist said that Marty had been injured in the head at least 45 minutes and up to 12 hours before he died.
That's such a
brutal
way to die. I mean, he must have suffered immensely.
Yeah, and I mean, I couldn't imagine him thinking, how can I get out of this? Following trial, Lester and Vernon were convicted of robbery, aggravated kidnapping, and deliberate homicide. They were sentenced to 40 years in the Montana State Prison for the robbery, and sentenced to death for the kidnapping and homicide convictions. Diane Bullcoming, she pleaded guilty and testified against the brothers and spent 12 years in prison and is now out. I didn't see anything about LaVon. You know, she was as much a part of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened to her. But Vernon, he eventually appealed, claiming a Brady violation during trial, stating that they withheld information that could have changed the outcome of the trial. His death sentence was commuted to life without parole because of that appeal. In 2019, another appeal was made for both Lester and Vernon, stating that being charged with both aggravated kidnapping and felony murder falls under the rules of double jeopardy. The court agreed to the appeal, taking away the kidnapping charge. Well, when they did that, that made them eligible for parole in 2020. So just because they were eligible for parole doesn't mean that they would be paroled. But shortly after that was approved, Vernon died in prison in 2020. Lester, he still has the opportunity to someday be released. But Marty's family has vowed to fight against that and not let that happen. Marty's son, Johnny, said, "I just feel like it was one of the few things I owed my dad was to confront one of the killers. I didn't want to approach it with anger. I didn't want to just turn it into blaming him for everything because I've lived a good life. My mother has been one of the most incredible people in the world, and I didn't want that event to define who I was. But I guess I just would love to know why they had to do that to him." I don't know if he ever got the opportunity to talk to either one of them. I could not find a report that they gave any response as to why they did what they did, but it seems to have started as a robbery and then viciously escalated to torturing and murdering him just because they had the opportunity.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of behavior, it can't be explained. It's something that I cannot comprehend how evil a person can be. Well, and
they were equipped with that. Like, they were ready for that. That night, anyone who would have gotten their car, they would have escalated to that point. And it always amazes me when it's multiple people that can escalate to that point and get there. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. They're all in this together.
They all are like the same caliber of disgusting.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I mean, at least the girls came forward and didn't deny any of it. They gave the story of what happened, but that doesn't make it any better, really. But, you know, Marty, he seemed like a wonderful person, and I'm sorry this happened to him and to his family. But yeah, I know this is a short episode, but
I can't like the double jeopardy thing. I don't get that, because it seems to me that most states view double jeopardy as the same charge. Like, if you are acquitted of murder, you can't be tried again for the murder. But kidnapping and felony murder are two different charges, right?
You would think so. I bet the state agreed.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that. Because it doesn't change the crime. The fact is they did kidnap him, and the fact is they did murder him. So I just don't understand that.
Yeah, and I mean, Lester is now in his 60s. I don't know exactly how old, but he's in his 60s, and he doesn't... If, God forbid, he does get out, he's not going to know what to do with himself.
Well, I hope he has arthritis in his knees and hemorrhoids and, you know, piles and... whatever else that would be an inconvenience on top of prison. So, good riddance. Rest in peace, Marty.
All right. Well, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah. Let's do it again. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.